with words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our help, our health, and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
So we continue in our study of Paul's letter to the Galatians. Paul started this church in a place, present-day Turkey. We start by calibrating a few things. We know that God is holy. He is righteous. There is no wrong in him at all. And he created us, humans, in his image and likeness. That means that we were created holy and righteous. God gave us, allowed us to keep our willpower to make our own choices. And we became flawed, we became damaged, we became tainted because we elected to do it our way. Those of you who watched the inauguration ball, Trump danced to "I Did It My Way" last night. We elected to do things our way and went away from God's will. We became our own masters, and so we became flawed. We were in a state of, humans were in a state of rebellion. We were in a state of sinfulness. And the Bible teaches us that the wages of sin is death. In the previous weeks, we've learned that Paul taught the Galatians that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world, into a sin-riddled world, to become a sacrifice for our sins, to remove our sins through his sacrifice by dying on the cross. He took our punishment. And all that the Galatians needed to do, says Paul, was to accept that sacrifice has done it all for them. Not just the Galatians, but you and me. All who believe became free persons, free from the fear of falling into sin, free from the fear of the punishment that comes from the sinfulness, knowing that if we fell into sin, we have recourse to going to Christ, to confessing our sin, and being forgiven. That's why David was bold to ask us to confess our sins and to stand on the promise of God to pray for our forgiveness. Now, it doesn't matter what sin we've committed. It doesn't matter what error we've fallen into in the past. You take Paul, the one who we are studying, whose letter we are studying. He was a serial murderer. He went about killing people who didn't believe in Christ, who believed in Christ. But God forgave him. God gave him a second chance. And Paul went ahead to become a big, great evangelist. He took the word of God throughout the then known Gentile world. Let's take Peter, the great apostle. At that psychological moment when they were trying Jesus, about to condemn him to death, Peter denied Jesus. Don't know him. He told the woman, he said, "I've seen you with that man." "No, not me." And yet, God forgave Peter. And when you read the New Testament, when you read the Acts of the Apostles, it's mostly Peter and Paul doing great works for God. That is grace. It's unmerited favor. That's what we have been admitted into, you and I. That our sins are wiped away by God because of what Christ has done. So we are flawed creatures, and we can be made right by that sacrifice. And at the 9 o'clock service, there was a song we sang about being hidden in Christ. We can put on Christ, and God can look on these flawed creatures, you and myself. But Paul was more qualified than most people to make this statement about grace, because here he was, a mass murderer, a Pharisee. In the first chapter of this letter, he says, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. I learned all the laws and I obeyed them religiously. But Christ taught me that's not the way. It's not a box-ticking operation. You cannot earn righteousness. If you want to follow the conversation this morning, open to page 1171 of the Pew Bible. In verse 2 of Galatians chapter 5, we learn that from Paul that insisting on adherence to the law for justification means to abandon our faith in Christ. Some translations say you walk away from grace. Why is that so? Because that route leads to nowhere. It is humanly impossible to obey all the laws. Here were these Galatians, they had learned the basic thing that qualifies everyone to come into an inheritance. I believe we talked about inheritance last week. You became children of God. And others are saying, on top of that, you need to be circumcised, putting more laws, more rules for them to obey. God gave the Jews some moral laws, some 10 commandments. And as the Jews progressed, God expanded their horizon and gave them a few more rules, hygiene rules, dietary rules to help them. And they on their own thought about other rules to heap on themselves because they wanted to make themselves acceptable to God. Flawed human beings had set up rules to make themselves acceptable to God. And as time went on, some of these rules, the rules came to something like over 600 rules you had to remember and obey. That's not possible. And Jesus showed the farce of trying to do it yourself. When he expanded on some of the rules, or the laws that are given to the Israelites. If you have time, you can look at Matthew chapter 5 from verse 17 to the end to get the gist of what I'm saying. But let me just illustrate it with what Jesus said about the law against murder. Thou shalt do no murder. One of the 10 commandments. Jesus writes, and it's not just talking about taking a pistol or a knife and killing somebody. In verse 22, he says, I tell you that anyone who's angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Anger. And when you think of it, have you not in your mysterious moments been angry with people and wondered if they could just trip and fall or have some more major consequence? Think about it. Jesus was right. The things we have are in our minds. If you're angry with someone, you're subject to judgment. He goes on to say, we try to demean people. He says, if you call someone an idiot, that's wrong. If you call someone a fool, he may be in danger of the fire of hell. So you see, trying to do it yourself doesn't cut it. Take traffic offenses that we commit. You could end up parking in the wrong place and get a ticket. All your journey up to the place you parked, you may have obeyed all the traffic rules, driven on the proper side of the road, stopped at the red and at the lights when they were red, but by disobeying one rule, you have a traffic offense. So Paul teaches that if you want to go that route, circumcision and all of that box ticking, be prepared to obey all of them. Otherwise, you are guilty. So in our study today of verses 1 to 12 of chapter 5, Paul's letter to the Galatians, he says that slavishly following the laws is what it means. It's enslavement. It's bondage. And it accounts for nothing. In verse 1 he says, you're free. Wake up to the fact that you're free. You've been freed through the finished work of Jesus on the cross. In verse 4 he says, trying to make oneself right with God by keeping the law means abandoning God's grace. You see, you can't gain what you don't have. You're flawed, you cannot give righteousness. You cannot give, you cannot make yourself right with God. So if you read the letter, you can see a bit of anxiety. These people have got it right. They understood the message, this simple, very simple message. Now someone is trying to complicate their lives. There's a path that is a hopeless path, trying to do it yourself, dig yourself out of a hole. And there's another path of accepting what God has done for us through the one who came and took our punishment. So let's accept that simple, easy way. But it's not that easy. We need faith. It's not something you can hold on to. It's not tangible. So you need to trust, to believe and trust in God. How do we do that? The next two verses, verses 5 and 6, teach us that our righteousness is by faith in Christ, but it is fueled, it's enabled by the Spirit of God. It's something we cannot fully understand, but we have to believe, to accept by faith, that it is the Spirit that changes us. Faith is the thing that leads to justification. That's our belief and trust in God is what leads to justification. And this is enabled by God's Spirit. We cannot try to do good in order to become righteous, to become saved. But because we are saved, the things we do tend to be good. So it's something you can't earn. You can't earn goodness. Paul touched on the fact that because you get changed, because you get transformed, you become good. He talked about it in his letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verse 2. He says, being transformed, being changed, comes about through the renewing of our minds. Our minds get changed by the Spirit of God. In his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, He says we have to put off our old self, that flawed self, take it away, and be made new in the attitude of our minds. Put on a new self, created to be like God. And that's brought about by the Spirit of God. So the only viable option open to us is to live life by the Spirit. Living life in the Spirit. That's going to be expanded on next week by David in this series. So for the rest of the verses, verses 7 to 12, Paul concludes by warning the Galatians not to be deceived. He's warning me, he's warning you not to be deceived by anyone, but to believe in the grace that is so freely given to us, and not to be deceived. Stay in the grace that's so freely given. As Christians, when we come to Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit of God. But we need to understand what's going on in us. We need to understand all this story about being changed. And how we do that is by digging deep into the Word of God, by studying the Word of God, by investing some time studying. David talked about a few courses that are open to us. Right here in this parish, we can get involved in those courses to get a bit more depth in our understanding of our relationship with Christ. All this story about Christ taking away our sin. What does it mean? The sacrifice. How do we believe Him and trust Him? There are Bibles that have help, study Bibles. And in this digital age, there are apps for studying the Word of God. And as we do this, Peter writes in his general letter, second general letter, chapter 3, that we grow in the grace and knowledge of God. There's this saying that you are what you read. People who read filthy stuff tend to have filthy language. If we read the Word of God, the Word of God will be part of what we say and do. What we spend our time with influences us. So let's spend time studying to get to understand this relationship that we have, that a flawed person is changed by the Spirit of God into somebody who's acceptable to God. That's how we can appreciate God's gift to us. And that's how our faith can get built up into accepting the finished work that's been done for us. Amen.